Lord, we have assembled in thy name in this evening. Oh Lord, we consider it a privilege and a blessing to be able to gather together around thy holy word. We have spent this day in labor for the physical man, oh Lord, and so as we come together this evening, we pray, oh Lord, that the inner man would be strengthened and fed, that Lord Jesus, we would learn of thee, and that we would humbly seek thee and thy face and the blessings that are poured out upon those who serve thee. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear ones, for this evening's meditation, I'd like to turn with Lord's help to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Я буду желать прочитать из Евреям из 11 главы. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, preparing an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead, raised to life again, others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yet moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. For God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Here one's the chapter of the reading that we had before us is gives us the definition of faith. It speaks of many examples of faith. It speaks of what faith desires, what it looks for, and it continues on. It's just loaded with examples of faith. And as we went into the following chapter, the verse chapter 12, it really gives the example of Jesus. Faith is the we know the saying here that is written of the just shall live by faith, and I think we sometimes use that word or that phrase perhaps too lightly. We have to understand fully what it means to live by faith. The just will live by faith. This first was introduced in the prophet of Habakkuk, where he is questioning God. He's asking God, what is going on? Why are you silent? Why are you not doing anything with this people? And God gives him an answer, and he says, I will raise up the Chaldeans, who are a vicious people, against you, against the nation of Israel, because of their unbelief, because of their lack of faith. And he says, behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him. That means, the soul that is lifted up, that soul is not upright. So what does it mean to be lifted up? To be lifted up, we think right away it's only about pride. And it is. A man who is proud does not have any interest in the Lord. But more than that, dear ones, it's anyone who is self-centered, who is self-pleasing, whose life revolves around self. That man is lifted up. That man's soul is lifted up, and his soul is not upright in him. So that's one example that God gives of a man. The other example, he says, the just shall live by his faith. And so faith, as we consider it, what it means, and so on, we have the examples in this chapter. We see the definition of it is talks about it being the substance of things that are hoped for, the evidence of things that were not seen. And when we consider that definition and we look at the examples of faith that are demonstrated here, we have to pause and look at what the writer here is saying. He says, you have all these examples. But do we ever hear him say, look to Abel? Look to Abel. Does he say, look to Enoch? Does he say, look to Abraham? Does he say, look to Noah? When we look at the lives of the patriarchs of old, when we look at any man, we will find faults. Noah sinned. Can the writer say, look at him? Because if you have to look at someone, you have to look at his whole life. And his whole life is lacking. It lacks. Even Enoch, it says he walked with God and he was translated. He was taken away, but not the first 60 years. So we find in every one of these examples that we are not to look to them. What the examples of faith do is they still point to the one who we read in this, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Because none of these men were authors. None of these men were the leaders of faith. So we can't look to them. Because in there we can actually find too much comfort. We can find, oh, does that mean I can sin as Noah did? Does that mean I can do these things? If we allow ourselves to sin because we have examples of God's forgiveness, well, we are simply showing our evidence, the evidence of the lack of faith. And that soul, it says in Habakkuk, as we read, that soul is not upright in him. And Habakkuk then cannot believe what he's hearing. That not only is God staying silent, but God will raise up a people to execute judgments upon them, an evil people. And so Habakkuk just has to say that he will simply sit and watch. He'll sit and watch what things unfold. And so when we look at the examples of even if we look at Abel, Abel was a man who had never says one thing about him that he sinned. And never says anything about him that he did anything wrong. But we find Abel offering sacrifices, which means that there was a consciousness to something that was lacking in him. So we can't look to Abel. We look to Jesus, the author, the leader, the one who says, I do. He says, as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. That's faith. The faith of Jesus, as he demonstrates it, as he lives it, it never lacked. It was always perfect. It was always thorough in its example, in its showing, as he says, as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. There's no deviation. And so we see that when we look in the book of Genesis, we see Genesis, which is, we see a beginning which is perfect, pure, And then we see a evil take place, a fall. And then we go all through the book of Genesis, and we come to the conclusion of Genesis, and it talks about a coffin. And it struck me when I read this that it said in here, it talked about Joseph. Now, Joseph, when we know, all of us just love the story of Joseph, right? All of us from our childhood, where there's no better person that could tell a story from the Bible than our mothers, right? When we heard these stories of Joseph and so on, we love those stories. We learned them in Sunday school, and we go on, and we still love to read the stories of Joseph. And it says in here, by faith, Joseph, here's what it speaks of Joseph. By faith, when he died, he made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. This is what it said about Joseph. It doesn't say anything about all the things that we read in Genesis about what he had done, how he had demonstrated that faith through all the different things he did. But it says that Joseph died. Being 110 years old, they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. That was his end. But before that, it says, I die, he tells his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from hence. We can look at Joseph, who in the land of Canaan, he didn't have a good life in Canaan. His brothers hated him. We know the story, what happened, how he was sold into Egypt, what had happened in Egypt to him there. We didn't even get into the things that Joseph had done that showed his complete commitment of God, where being in his total vigor, his youth, he was a young man, and he rejected and fought off the temptation, had victory over temptations, and for that victory, he was put into prison. That takes faith. There's no way that through a severe temptation that we would go through, and we have victory. We through God, we have victory. And then because of that victory, because we did not yield into temptation, we go into prison. And we find Joseph believing. And we see Joseph in prison. We see the baker and the butler. We know the story of what happens and the dreams that they are called to interpret and so on, and how the baker is later killed, and the butler, what does it say, forgets about Joseph. And he spends another couple years in prison. But Joseph believes. Because what he says here, it says, it's only faith that could have told, that could have said these words, that he says, you will go out of the land. Why? It's not till another 140 years later that the children of Israel make the exodus out of Egypt. 140 years later. He doesn't say when. He just says he knows the promise. The promise to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob was that they would inherit the land of Canaan. And he believed that, and he said, take my bones with you. Take my bones. Not because his bones are something, but he wanted to be connected to that. Because that's what his life was. His life was completely that of service and belief and faith in his Creator. Even though he became a statesman, he became a man that the world would look at and say, he had a vision. You know, when someone gets a monopoly on something, we look at him as, wow, how did he foresee that? He was very smart. And what he did it for himself. Whatever Joseph did, he didn't do anything for himself. He did it for the people. He did it for mankind. That is a life that is not self-centered. A life that is self-centered, he does it for himself. And man looks in awe and wonder, and we do that. We fall into those traps where we admire the foresight of a man when his foresight is zero. He has no foresight. He's blind. The Bible describes a man who lives for this life as blind, doesn't know anything, doesn't see anything. Eyes of faith are the ones who see into the future. And that is Jesus. Jesus was always focused on the future, and anything that he ever said, never was there any pessimism in anything he said. He always spoke of victory. Faith, brothers and sisters, faith does not allow us to question our predicaments, does not allow us to speak of, woe is me, what am I going through? It doesn't matter what we're going through. It does not matter. Joseph went through far more. And he's in prison for having a faith in God. He's in prison. That's God was working. And he tells his brethren later, he says, you meant it for evil. God meant it for good. That's what Habakkuk saw. God can turn those things which are evil into those things that move in that are continue. God is moving continually, always, to his desired end. And dear ones, we here are to live lives of faith that believe, as Joseph says, you will leave this land. There was no reason for them to leave the land. They lived in the land of Goshen. It was a land that was the most rich, fertile land that you could have. It was beautiful. They had freedom. They had everything they wanted. Why would you want to leave Egypt and go to Canaan? That was the promise. Joseph didn't know how. He didn't know how it was going to happen. He didn't know it. Because his life was done. He would not be the leader. He couldn't take Israel back to the land of Canaan. We find him dying. We find the Lord Jesus also dying. However, the Lord Jesus resurrects. And the Lord Jesus says, he actually takes Moses, where it speaks of Moses here, who could not see the promised land, yet we see Jesus who had inherited all things, it says. When he rose, he inherited all things. We find him, we find the promise that he has given unto us fulfilled in him. But we also see Jesus taking Moses, who did not enter into the land, who was able to see and be in the presence of the incarnate Son of God on that Mount of Transfiguration. Dear ones, we see examples of faith throughout the scripture that are written here of many who had gone through much. And we can't even begin to go through each one of these men and to see the faith that they had lived by. And yet, nowhere will we find, dear ones, that we are to look to them. Paul says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Our is in italics here. When it is italicized, that means it is not written in the original Greek. They put that word in to try to make it more complete, but this actually is more complete without it. Yes, he is the author and finisher of our faith, but he is the author and finisher of faith. And who, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Dear ones, he despised the shame, endured the cross. Oftentimes, we despise the cross and endure the shame. And he said he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And so, dear ones, as it says, we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. That doesn't mean that they are witnessing what we are doing. They're not witnessing our walk. No, they are witnesses of the faith that had made them whole, of the faith that they believed in God. It is only through this faith that it says that they were able to, you know, some of these names are just mentioned. And, you know, Rahab, if we look at her, she had a faith that she believed and she received spies. And if she would have been caught, she would have given her life. But by faith, she believed these things. But we can't look to Rahab. Rahab didn't have a good past. But Jesus is perfect in all things. He's the author of faith. He is the one that we have to look to. Dear ones, if we look to one another, if we look at any example, we will always find a room of some sort for a lack of faith. And maybe even feel justified and so on. But in Christ, looking to Him, who is the author, the leader of faith, we see perfection throughout. And Jesus is calling us. He's calling us to come out. We have to look at what His thoughts of our man. Man, when we look at man, when we consider who man is, what is our thoughts of a man? What do we think of another man? You know what often we do? We think of a man in anger. We think of a man in he deserves this. He deserves that. He deserves to die. What? He did that horrible thing? He deserves to die. Jesus looks at a man, and we see what He thinks of a man when we look at the cross. He believes in man. He believes that if man will have faith in Him, if man will look at the work that Jesus had done on the cross and look to Him as the author of faith, look to Him. If we did that, He has a confidence, if it could be used that way, in a man, that with His empowerment, he will be able to overcome everything. Because his eyes will be fixed on those things which are ahead. And ahead is victory. No defeats, only victory. Jesus is never pessimistic about the future. How many times are we downtrodden, thinking about, oh no, oh this, oh what about this, oh, and we're going to get overwhelmed with our oh's. There's no pessimism in faith. It's always looking forward. It endures everything. It endures everything. Faith, it tells us here of these men, it says that the world was not even worthy of them. Stones, sawn asunder. You know, not every man was able to demonstrate his faith and then, through that demonstration of faith, be saved because of the demonstration of faith. No. Faith took them to death, and it was okay. Why? Because their eyes were fixed in the future. That's what faith is. It's the evidence are the substance of things that are hoped for. There's a substance, something that is real that we hope for. We don't see it, but yet we see it with what? With faith. It is the evidence of things not seen. Faith gives us a clear picture of that which we don't see. We see it. And in that, then we find our confidence, our trust in the Lord Jesus, and we live in a life of faith. A faith that does not sin, a faith that does not find itself lacking, a faith does not find itself afraid. A faith does not think about, oh no, what's going to happen to my children? Oh no, what's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to my wife? What's going to happen to, on and on. What's going to happen to me when I retire? Who's going to take care of me when I get old? And on and on. That just shows a lack of faith. And let's not take that, well, you know, that's just man. No, that is man living on the wrong side of victory. He's living in a defeated state. And we can say, yeah, but that's not that big of a deal. At least not sinning. That's not what faith is. Faith is a clear sight into the future that does not question the present. Does not. Brothers and sisters, I know I have lacked in that. That's why I'm able to speak of it so easily, because I experience these things. And I know you have too. But we're not called to that. We're not called to live lives that are defeated, lives that are hunkered down and afraid of everything. No, we're called to live lives of victory, of freedom. Paul uses that same word that was used in Habakkuk. He uses it here in Hebrews, he uses it in Romans. In Romans, it speaks in the sense that just shall live by faith. It speaks of the salvation that is derived through faith. In Galatians, he speaks of it as a liberty, that our faith gives us a liberty, a freedom from sin, a freedom from the things that are in this life, in this world, and it binds us with Jesus Christ, and it strengthens us and gives us a life. Here it speaks of faith as something that is living, tied, looking to Jesus. It gives us warnings in the previous chapter, warnings of falling into sin, of going into sin. It exhorts us to endure unto the end. Dear ones, the just shall live by faith. There's two ways. The unjust, who is living a life of self-pleasure, a self-satisfaction, self-centered. But I, whenever I use the word I have to stop. I have to stop. What am I saying I about? We have to consider, is that when I'm speaking about I, what about I, me, when we speak about ourselves, dear ones, we will find if we are self-centered. When we are asked to do, and we don't want, whenever I don't want to do something, it's because of a self-centered life. And that's it. Because a life of faith willingly spends itself completely for the Lord. And my love for you is such as the Lord's is, who looks to man and says, I'll go to the cross for him. And we may not even give a cup of cold water to one another. And we're going to call ourselves faithful. And we're going to say, the just shall live by faith. Yeah, you know, everything's falling apart, but the just shall live by faith, as if I'm the faithful one. I read this chapter because of what we had on Sunday, speaking of believing, speaking of what it means to believe. And when I read this chapter, I find myself lacking yet even more. This isn't a story for us to just read. It's a life for us to live. Jesus empowers us. What did he do to that tree? A tree that he saw had leaves, promise of fruit. He knew that that tree was dead at its roots. It was dead at its roots. Dear ones, where are we? Do we got leaves? And are we dead? Is my faith dead at its very root? Because it's not looking. If my faith doesn't look to Jesus, it's dead. Who's it looking to? Going to look to Abel? Going to look to Moses? Who's it going to look to? They couldn't do anything. They couldn't do anything. Well, no, we have to only look to Jesus. And then the root will not be dead, and the fruit will be present. Not just a promise, not just a name of a Christian, and promising I'll bring forth fruit one day. In my mind, thinking, one day, yes, I will. Okay, I'm going through a bad phase right now. Okay, I admit it. Lord, I admit it. I confess it. I'm going through a bad phase in my life right now. But one day, I do promise I'm going to turn. That just shows that we have zero faith. Not a little bit, zero. Jesus says, I always do my Father's commandment. I do it. That which he commands me, so do I, he says. That's faith. He says, he is the author and the finisher of faith. That's who we look to. That's who the apostle here is pointing us to. And that we also, dear ones, would with faith be able to endure all things, and to also be set down at the right hand, to be with our Lord Jesus forever. It all is on these short days that we live. Everything hinges on that. Life is long, we think, and yet it's so brief. And it's upon these days that we're living today, dear ones, that our eternity hinges on. Do we live lives of faith? Do we live for the moment? When I talk about my future, do I talk about my future in this life? Or do I talk about my future? Look at every man that has secured his future here below. When he reaches that end, is he content? Is he content? Is he saying, I did excellent. I still have money left over. I did excellent. Everything is just smooth as can be. No, he's going into an eternity that is unknown to him. He doesn't know it. But with faith, dear ones, our focus is on eternity. And that vision, looking at Jesus, directs every moment, yes, every thought. Every thought. How would we like one another to get into our thoughts? I know we wouldn't. But the Lord is there. And he still has confidence in me and in you. He still believes in us because he knows what he will give us if we simply believe in him. He will give us that faith that we'll be able to live the moment, whatever that moment is. So, dear ones, as we have read this chapter and meditated upon it, is my prayer that the Lord would empower us, enlighten us, so that we don't sit in darkness. He brought light, so that we don't love darkness. We might say, well, I'm in the light, but do I love darkness? Do I love darkness? Because if I love darkness, then I don't love the light, which means I don't have faith, which means I don't have eternity, which means that I am of the ones of Habakkuk that it says, my soul isn't right. May God bless his word upon our hearts, dear ones, that each of us would put our full trust, put our full faith in our Lord Jesus. In doing so, our lives will all be transformed. We will live complete, full lives. Complete. Joseph's life was complete. Moses' life was complete because they lived in faith. And may we also demonstrate the faith that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ, in our interactions one with another, it will be evident. And in everything we do and everything we say, may be to God's honor and his glory. Amen.
As we've read the account of faith, I was reminded of an observation that was made by a missionary hundreds of years ago to China. He observed that Satan works very hard to put obstacles, distractions, difficulties in our way and builds those walls all up around us and in front of us. Yet he cannot put a roof over our heads so that we cannot look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. When we think of the obstructions and the difficulties in our path, it obscures our view of what's ahead. But when we look to Jesus, we know he is the one who looks and knows what is ahead and knows what he is planning for us. And so we put our faith in him. We can, perhaps, bury our heads in those barriers and obsess about them and not look up. We can also go to the other extreme and naively ignore them and not ask the Lord, what am I supposed to learn from them or how should I handle them? And that's a heart that views itself humbly and says, these are the distractions, they're real, and these are the pains and hurts, they're real. But I'm going to trust Jesus to tell me and help me know what to do with them, how to respond. Because maybe I've been going down the wrong path, and I need to turn back to him. And these things are reminders of my need to do that. But all along the way, as we look to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we're encouraged in this chapter and in the meditation that we've had this evening to always remember that his promises are always true and he will never fail. May we learn to look up to him as we've been in prayer and meditating the scripture this evening. May God bless his word. Amen.